Daniel chapter 6, if you would. Daniel chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. My dad spent his career working for PPG. Back then it was called Pittsburgh Plate Glass. Oh, we're having trouble again. There it is. Back then it was called Pittsburgh Plate Glass. Now it's PPG Industries because they sold the glassworks to a company in Mexico. But 60, 65 years ago, there was a race on to try to come up with a formula to put coatings on glass that didn't leave a haze or a film. And not just PPG, but other glass manufacturers were all trying to get better at this process because photo gray was coming into Vogue and other coatings. Mirrors back then, they did the job, but they weren't as clear as they are today. So my dad discovered a chemical wash that you could put the glass through that it would allow these various tints and so on to adhere to the glass without a film or a residue left behind. He took it to his boss, and his boss said, JJ, this is big. Keep this between just you and I for now. Next thing he knew, his boss had published the results, obtained a patent for them, gotten a nice raise and a promotion within the company. Yeah, it doesn't just happen in TV miniseries or soap operas. It happens in real life. Contractors sometimes get stiffed by the people they've done the work for. Homeowners sometimes get ripped off by their remodeling specialists. People sometimes go to jail for crimes they didn't commit. Some people get away with murder. Some people live their whole lives under a shadow of suspicion for something they didn't do. Others don't get credit for the things that they have done. Life's not fair. However, the one that is going to judge everything at the end sees it all. There's nothing that's hidden from his sight. Nothing done in secret will not be exposed to the light. And because we answer to him, today's faith fact is quite encouraging and comforting. God listens when I pray. Have you ever felt like nobody's listening to me? I'll just talk to myself over here. And nobody cares. That's not true. He hears, he cares, he answers. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 7. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Father, there's a lot of decrees being written in our generation that we cannot agree with, we can't go along with. And for those that we already have, forgive us. Lord, the church has gone too far. The church has gone too far in complying with this world. And we need to know how and when to make a stand and to stay steady. So would you help us through your word today to get a clue, to have some semblance, to understand. These are the days. This is the time. And the church needs to stand. And we are the church. We need to stop this compromise with the world stuff and shine the light of Christ. Help us to do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel's a pretty old dude by the time the events of our scripture take place. He's well into his 80s. He's had a fascinating life. He grew up in Israel. The Babylonians had come against the land of Judah, which was his section of Israel. And because they made Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, angry, he came through and he took a lot of the utensils and valuables out of the temple. He also took a number of the craftsmen and promising young men and soldiers, the best that Israel had to offer, and carted them back to Babylon to serve in his administration, to serve in Babylon. So even as a young man, he's had a lot of adventure. From there, he rose in the government, did very well, and then there was a takeover of the government. The Medes and the Persians invaded Babylon, killed the present king there, and then took over. But Daniel not only survived the takeover, he was retained in the government and was used. You can imagine if there was a takeover today, an invasion of one country to the other, wouldn't be many, if any, officials that would be retained. They would either be executed or jailed or something like that because you bring in the new one. But there was so much transition that needed to take place. Babylon was the world empire, and now the Medes and the Persians were taking it all over. And so much had to happen in that transition from one to another. Somehow or other, must have been sheer coincidence, right? That Daniel just popped up to the surface, and no, he had remained faithful to God when others had abandoned their faith. But God saw to it that he endured and did well. So now Darius is the man in charge. He's the new emperor. How's he going to administrate such a vast landmass and so many different cultures and peoples? There's languages to deal with, cultural differences and so on. He decided he was going to divide the empire into 120 different districts. And then each would have its own satrap. We would call him maybe a governor. And they would answer to the higher-ups in the administration. In order to orchestrate 120, that's a lot to deal with in itself. He decided to put three different administrators, 40 sections of the world under each, and then they would answer directly to him. One of those satraps, one of those administrators, was Daniel. And Daniel so distinguished himself among all of the leaders that Darius was considering putting him in charge of the whole kit and caboodle, the whole shebang. And he's a good guy. He's an older gentleman, very well experienced. He's one of those people that when you ask him a question, you go, whoa, that's amazing. I wish I'd have said that. This guy is really sharp. He's got the wisdom of God pouring out through him. So even if you don't serve the Lord, you have to admire the way he does business, the things that he's aware of. He's a man of great integrity. When everybody else was playing political games to get ahead, not Daniel. He wasn't the backroom politics. He wasn't a part of the good old boy club. He simply did as the Lord was directing him to do. And when Darius announced that Daniel was going to be the head of it all, you would have thought that everybody else would have cheered. How many have ever had a bad boss? Yeah. How many have ever had a good boss? You say, you know what? I really appreciate what that fella or that lady taught me, how they treated me. That was really... Ryan, how's your boss? Okay. very good. And you can appreciate that. So you would think in all this mix of politics that's going on, in a world that's pretty violent and violent, if you heard you were getting a great administrator, you'd say, yes, oh, Daniel, he's the man. Boy, you can trust him. You can lean into it. He's so smart. Nothing worse than having somebody in charge of you that doesn't know as much about what you're doing as you do and trying to direct you and think, this is a great guy. That's not how they responded. As soon as they heard, they got green with envy. They wanted to be that administrator or somebody else in their camp. My suspicion would be the reason they didn't, because they had every reason to like Daniel, because he was good at what he did. He was a man of integrity and honesty and everything. What's not to like? The only reason I can figure is he didn't roll in the mud with them. The drinking parties, the immoral stuff that went on with idolatry and all of that, he stood aloof from that. And they didn't trust him because they didn't have any dirt on him, and they had dirt on each other and all of that going on. But for whatever reason, they decided, we do not want this guy to be our supervisor. So they got together and they said, we're going to figure out what's wrong with Daniel. And then we're going to take that to the king and we'll expose. Everybody's got stuff in their closet. Let's find the skeletons in his closet, figure out where he's messed up. I'm sure he must be, after all that time in charge of treasuries and everything else, surely he was dipping into the funds or whatever. Well, we're going to find it. So they searched the books and they interviewed people and they watched him very carefully in everything he did. And they couldn't find any fault in him, no fault at all to exploit. He just was, wow. So when they got together and they examined their findings, and one right after another said, nothing wrong with this guy. I can't find anything. Boy, the guy, man, I can't stand him. He's at work on time all the time. He does everything perfectly right. He just always says the right word and responds with nothing wrong at all. And as soon as they figured that out, they dropped to their knees and they repented and said, oh, man, of course we want Daniel to be our administrator. No, that's not what happened. Thank God we don't have politicians today like those guys. Thank God we don't have anybody who would shoot an idea down just because it came from the other side of the aisle. Thank God we don't have anybody that would take apart a good person and smear their reputation simply for political gain. Phew, I'm glad those days are over, aren't you? Yeah, yeah. So they said, if we can't find anything wrong, let's make something wrong about being right. Aren't you glad that doesn't happen anymore either? What we'll do is we'll make it illegal to do it right, and we'll make it legal to do it wrong. And what they came up with was, well, we know he prays a lot. That's one thing that they figured, he prays. How do you make it illegal to pray? How can we get that one past the king? I got it. They went to the king and they said, and I don't know if you've noticed this little word in our text. It was called all, A-L-L. And they went to the king and they said, all of your administrators, satraps, and governors agree that for the next 30 days, nobody should be allowed to pray to anybody, divine or human, except you, O king. Because, you know, we've been thinking about it, and you're just not as appreciated as you should be. I mean, I know we gave you that crown and the throne and all, and you got that really cool chariot, but, I mean, you're a much better emperor than we've given you credit. So we think this would really set in people's mind. Every day they're going to think about you for a little while. They're going to pray right to you. And the king says, no. Well, if you really want to. I mean, and if everybody is on board with this thing, who am I to say no, you know? I like to grant requests, and so, okay, ho, 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 where do I sign? And they had this quirk in their law that once it became law, it could not be reversed. Once he sealed it with his signet ring, that was it. It was going to happen. So he sealed it with his ring, and they all, you know, pretending to honor the king, they were undermining him the whole time. He wants to make Daniel, they're trying to undo something he once done. Boy, aren't you glad that doesn't happen in today's politics. Nobody is underhanded and backdoor kind of stuff like that. They would never butter you up just to tear you down. Media. Media. Excuse me. But, you know, they're so duplicitous in what they're doing. As soon as the ink's not even dry, the wax isn't even dry on the signet ring, and they all, and they go over to where Daniel lives. And you didn't have to stake it out, because he prayed 3 times a day, on time every day. 9 o'clock in the morning, why is that? The time of the morning sacrifice. 12 noon. Because it's in the middle between the two sacrifices. And 3 o'clock in the afternoon is the time of the evening sacrifice in Israel. So he lifted up his prayers before God. Now, the only thing that would have been problematic for them is if Daniel would have kept his windows closed and prayed in secret, which would have been smart, right? Because then they couldn't catch him doing this. But Daniel wasn't worried about getting caught praying. He was worried about getting caught not praying. He wouldn't want to face his day without the strength of the Lord. Now, a little background will be helpful to get us to why was Daniel this bold. Well, let's think back a little bit. You remember when he was first exiled to Babylon, he and several of his buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were put into school to see what government office they might be able to be helpful with after they had so much education, 3 years of indoctrination. And the first thing was they got to eat at the king's buffet. There was the richest of meats and all kinds of foods that could be had, the best wine available. And Daniel said, no. You know, red meat, that's full, it's not good, you know. You know, you got your high fat content and cholesterol and all. No, that's not what he said. He said, that meat's been offered to an idol. We're not going to defile ourselves. We're not going to have everybody saying, oh, yeah, I was dedicated to so-and-so. I am not dedicated to so-and-so, and I'm not eating what was dedicated to. So just feed us vegetables for the next while. I said, I can't do that, because if you turn up scrawny and they say, what happened? Well, I fed them vegetables and you're not. It's my head. Well, let's just do it for a little while. I think it was 30 days, they said. Test us after 30 days. If we're not as strong as everybody else, then, you know, we'll submit. 30 days later, the guys that were only eating vegetables were more bulked up and sharper in their intellect and so on. Now, I know a lot of people go away and they say, oh, we need that diet. You need that God. It was God intervening. It wasn't broccoli sprouts, Brussels sprouts, whatever. I know my vegetables. God showed up. They made a commitment in God's name. Not going to defile ourselves. They end up wiser than everybody else. Then there was a series of dreams that the king had, Nebuchadnezzar. The first one, he said, boy, I had a whopper last night. And he got all of his administrators and his astrologers, all the mystics, all the priests of the various gods together. And he said, man, I had a dream last night. I need you to tell me the dream and what it meant. And they all said, you tell us the dream and we'll tell you what it meant. Oh, I'm on to you guys. I tell you the dream, you come up with all this stuff. No, no. If you're really, you know, we've been paying you guys and treating you very well. I noticed on the last treasurer's report what we're pouring into astrology and you priests and everything. Now's the time to pony up. Either you tell me the dream and its interpretation, or I'm going to eliminate your position. Actually, what he said was, I'm going to eliminate you. And on the day they were going to be executed, Daniel stepped forward and said, what's all the kerfuffle about? They told him, and he said, tell the king, give me a minute. I'll be in tomorrow. And he walked in, and the king said, I understand you could. I can't do it, but God will tell me, and then I'll tell you. And because of that, Nebuchadnezzar writes a letter to everybody and says, wow, Daniel's God is the God of gods. But even after that, old Nebuchadnezzar, he's pretty thick. Anybody have thick friends? And he builds a gold statue of himself. He says, everybody got to watch, and when you hear the trumpet sound, bow down to my statue. You got to worship me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, sorry, can't do that. And the king brought him in and said, I understand you're not compliant. I'm going to give you one more chance. And he said, dude, you can give as many chances as you want to. We're not bowing down to that statue. Well, into the furnace with you. Remember that story, the three of them? The fire was seven times hotter than usual. The guards that threw him into the fire were overcome by the heat and died right there at the entrance. The king looked in, and he saw them walking around in the middle of the furnace. And he said, I count four. Didn't we send three? No, there's four. And one looks like the Son of God. And they came out, wasn't even the smell of smoke on their clothes. There was also the handwriting on the wall. After Nebuchadnezzar passed away, his son Belshazzar becomes the new king. And he has a party. And he has them bring in the goblets that they stole from the temple in Jerusalem. And they're drinking wine out of these goblets that were dedicated to God. And they're worshiping the gods of gold and silver. And a hand appears. And it writes a message on the wall. And everybody is freaked out. And nobody knows how to read it, what it means. And the queen mother sends in a message, says, get Daniel. He's the man. He'll help you out. They brought Daniel in. He hadn't been invited to the party. I have a suspicion he might have been invited, but when he heard what they were doing, he said, no, thank you, not gone, not going to be there. You're going to insult the king. I don't care, not gone. They brought him in. Meeny, meeny, tinkle, farson. You have been weighed in the balances and been found wanting. Today, O king, you're going to lose your kingdom. He said, you know what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. You know what God did for him. And you've turned your back on that. In fact, you're insulting the God that did all those wonderful things for your father. And God's done with you. I mean, there was no Jonah thing where if you repent, maybe we can. No. He said, you're done. That's it. And that night, the Medes and the Persians came in. Babylon was no more. Belshazzar was no longer alive. But somehow, like I say, Daniel popped to the top and continued. So all of this is his history. So they come out with one more threat. You have to do it our way or else. And he said, you choose who you want to serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Daniel had always lived his faith out loud. And now when they come out with an edict, you're not allowed to pray. He lived his faith out loud. Not louder than he used to. He didn't put a show on of some kind or what have you. He just did what he'd always done before. And he lived his faith out loud. If I have one regret in life, it's that I have not been more bold about my faith. That I have not lived more out loud than I have. Now that's coming from a person who, when I was in high school, I carried my Bible to school, I wore witness wear to wrestling practice, all that kind of stuff. But I'm ashamed that I was often ashamed of being a Christian. I'm ashamed that I was often ashamed that I didn't do shameful things with everybody else. But I'm so thankful that God kept me from so much of the sorrow that goes along with all of that. But old Daniel, he lived his... Can you imagine how hard that would be? You were exiled. Talk about peer pressure. You're told you have to do this or you could die. I'm not eating that meat. I'm not bowing down to that statue. I'm going to glorify God no matter what. Wow. Oh, we've been so wimpy. Oh, we can't pray in school anymore because they said so. Oh, we can't do this in public anyway because, you know, they said so. Oh, we daresn't say anything about that because, ooh, you know how it is now. His enemies caught him on his knees and they paraded him before the king. How do you feel in that moment? How lonely, how defeated. But Daniel went with them. Verse 14 of Daniel 6. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Don't you know that little word all popped into his head? You guys told me all. It's an idiot that tries to fool the king. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel, and they threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. Your God? You? Well, obviously Darius isn't a follower of God just yet, because nobody who's following God says, pray to me for the next 30 days. But he is familiar with Daniel's history, and he knows this is a great God. Verse 18, then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him. He couldn't sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God. He's getting close now. Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? There's that dramatic pause and that music that... Yes, O king, God was with me last night. He sent his angels to close the mouths of the lion. I'm never better. Never better. Top of the morning to you. Yeah. Darius is no fool. He saw right through the scheme of the satraps and the other administrators. They didn't all. So even if Daniel gets eaten and goes to heaven, these guys have dug a pit for themselves. What a tangled web we weave when at first we practice to deceive. Oh, it sounded like such a good idea at first. It was such a good plan. But their duplicity was their doom. Because of the law he'd signed, Darius gives the order for Daniel to be thrown in. The law said whoever prays has to be thrown in. The law didn't say they have to die there. Just that they have to be thrown in there. And so in the morning, he's able to bring him back out A-okay. But note what he said when he threw him in there. May your God, whom you serve continually, what a reputation, whom you serve continually, rescue you. Oh, would to God that could be said for us, about us. Your God, whom you serve continually. Because, you know, pagans, they did their thing, their religious thing, but Daniel was all in. He served his God continually. Darius had spent the night very anxious, but also hopeful and expecting. He didn't send somebody else to find out what happened, get a report on it. He ran out to the lion's den himself. The emperor of all the known world is running across the courtyard and has to find out for himself what has happened. And sure enough, Daniel's fine. The tables have turned. King Darius and Daniel, they win. All the others, they lose. Not needing to put it into law, codify it with his ring or anything else. He makes an executive decision on the spot. Bring me everybody who signed that letter about that law and their wives and their kids. Toss them in the lion's den. Oh. They were dead before their feet hit the floor. The lions had crushed them and were eating them. And they were hungry lions. And they were done. I'm thinking, Darius, these are the best and brightest in your administration. You're going to have to hire a whole bunch of people to replace. They're talented. They're good. They didn't get to be a treasure by being a dummy. Do other people even know how to? What are you going to do about the unemployment problem in your administration after this? Well, you see, Darius knew something. That it was better to have people of integrity. It was better to have one guy with integrity than a whole bunch of people without integrity. And you know what the thought was that struck him that day? It's time to drain the... Oh, you've heard this story before, have you? The swamp just stunk. Something major had to happen. It couldn't get tweaked. There had to be something go on here that was revolutionary. And it's better to have people of integrity, one person of integrity, than thousands who maybe they got skills or talents or whatever, but then you got all this ulterior motives and selfish ambition and everything else ruining every good initiative that could have been enacted. What was Daniel's crime? Prayer. What saved Daniel's life? Prayer. He just consistently, they gave him awards and they gave him a raise and they gave him a new office. He was able to handle prosperity. They threatened him. They, you know, threw him in a lion's den. Just steady old Daniel. Steady old Daniel, just right on. Yeah. Oh, that we could follow that path. It's interesting to me that Israel, the nation of God, is no more. They were supposed to be the light for everybody, and their fame was to be spread throughout the world, but they became corrupt. And so God allowed the Babylonians to come in and just crush it. They said, but we have the temple. And the Lord said, no more. Oh, wow. And they were just scattered everywhere. We have the promised land. No more. But in the scattering of the people of God, the world got a witness it could not have gotten otherwise. God's plans cannot be thwarted. Now, God's people could have been part of those plans. The temple could have still, and could have done it that way. But when God's people fail God, God doesn't fail God's people. And his agenda stays on point. Who's the emperor? Who's the king of kings? Who's the Lord of lords? Yeah, he can handle this. And when his people got scattered, when the temple got crushed, edicts went out from the supreme commanders. You need to worship their God because he's got it going on. Don't want to hear anybody down in Mordecai's God. Don't want to hear anybody down in Daniel's God. He's the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. It didn't look real good, did it, when Daniel was being marched to the lion's den? I kind of picture it much like when Jesus carried his cross up Golgotha. People were making fun. They were laughing. Hey, who's the man now? Hey, who's going to be the administrator now? What are you going to administrate in the lion's den? You going to get them organized, Daniel? Good one. Yeah, there he goes, King Leo. That's what we'll call him now. Go ahead, buddy. Enjoy your time in the den. But then the next day, I know it looks dark for America, We seem to lose one cultural war after another. God's not done yet. And the key is, God listens when I pray. God didn't need Israel to reveal himself to the world. He could do it. But here's what Darius wrote and sealed with his ring and sent out to all those 120 different provinces. I issued a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. What a name, the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. That sounds way different from the last edict, right? Only pray to me over that. No. I'm sorry. Him. Trust him. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah God. Emperor after emperor emphasized God's right to rule and power to do as he pleases because it only took one. It only took an Esther. It only took a Daniel. It only took a Mordecai. It only took one to make a stand and watch God do what only God could do. Because God listens when we pray, let's pray. Far too many Christians have become discouraged, disgruntled. They've given up. Shame on them. They're going to be embarrassed on the day God acts. Because they looked at circumstances. They didn't look at God. Let us look at God together, look up to God together, and make it our fervent prayer. The darker it gets, pray all the harder. What's the saying? It's always darkest before the dawn. It's always darkest just before dawn. So press in, friends. Let's see God be glorified like never before. Would you stand with me this morning? Behold, he comes.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And all these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore. Still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, and the trumpet calls, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel. The dry bones are becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white in your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, and the trumpet call, lift
comes. We know there's going to be a day when he makes all things right. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. I'm asking for a prior coming. I'm asking for an outpouring of the Spirit, an outpouring of revival that will make things right, preparing for his coming, a great revival. Our God is not thwarted by backroom politics and all these things going on. I know, like myself, you probably get quite upset when you listen to too much news and everything. Why aren't they doing this and why aren't they doing that? And this is as plain as the nose on your face and all that kind of stuff. Look up, look up, look up. Your redemption draweth near. God's going to do something. God's going to do something. God's going to intervene that nobody can credit it to anybody else but him. He receives the glory in it all. Father, we just look to you today. We've been in the soup all week long. We've begun to smell like the world. We grumbled and complained and we got pushed and shoved this way and that way. We're getting anxious to be on the other side because, man, it's starting to smell in the swamp around here. But, God, we're asking you to come and drain it, Lord. People have tried. People have failed. Lord, we need you. We need you, Lord God, to do something miraculous, or many things miraculous, to raise up your Daniels among us, to stand with integrity. And we pray, God. Lord, I often say, you know, it's easy to pastor here in South Central Pennsylvania, redneck capital of Pennsylvania, and say these things and get a bunch of amens, and that's right. But we got people who are saying these things in Hollywood, California, New York, New York, in Washington, D.C. We got people who are preaching this to a worldwide audience. Lord, those are the ones we're lifting up. We've got people sitting on school boards who are or standing for Christ, and they're having people show up and curse at them and denounce them and so on. Lord, we lift up their arms today. We ask you to strengthen your Daniels. Give them a resolve, Lord God. Set their face like flint, that no matter what the threat is, no matter what they try to do to them, God, no matter what lion's den they get thrown into, may they stay faithful, may they stay straight, may they stay strong. And soon, God, we pray from the very people who used to try to influence us toward evil, from those same people we want to hear an edict go out. He is King. He is Lord. He is God. Worship him alone. Hallelujah. Lord, we covet Washington, D.C. We covet Hollywood, California. We covet Nashville, Tennessee. We covet Motown, Lord God. We covet New York, New York for Jesus Christ. May those dark places be lit up so bright they light the whole world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.